Welcome to the Sunday Morning Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Adrian Moore.
Pastor Brian last week showed a video clip of Martin Luther King Jr. with his I Have a Dream speech, and reminding us that we dare to dream here as well. We have dared to dream for this building, and God's graced it. It is built on really good foundations. And as we walk through, we are part of that. God's presence is here, but it's also out there. So when we leave, we have that presence with us always. But those firm foundations are something that need carefully being built and carefully nurtured. Naomi, can I have the first clip, please? So, the three little pigs. One pig built his house of straw, while the second pig built his house of sticks. They both built them quickly without much thought as to consequence what would happen. The third pig built his house of bricks. Now, I slightly disagree with him because I think that work and play, when it's right, do mix very well. But a wolf came, and he huffed and he puffed, and he blew the first two houses down really quickly. But the wolf tried to huff and puff and blow the third house down. But he couldn't, no matter how hard he tried, because it was built of bricks and it was on firm foundation. Thus ends our fairy tale. But today, as we know, is the first anniversary of our first Sunday in this church. This building, the summit, it's built on firm foundations, even more so than the third little pig's house of bricks. There's a lot to celebrate today. The anniversaries, birthdays, dedications, God's growth in kingdom. We have the celebratory meal afterwards. Please stay and enjoy it if you can. So why did I show you a video clip of the three little pigs? The third pig built his house with bricks. I mentioned earlier that this building is now being used as a safe haven on Saturday nights. That could be a reason, but it's not the only reason why I showed you that clip. Because a long time before Disney made that movie, Jesus told a parable with a slightly similar theme. And as I retell this story about a farmer planting seeds, I'd like each of us to think about us being those seeds and all the children that we know. Ours, as well as all the children we know. So from Matthew 13, a farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the road, and birds ate it. Some fell in the gravel. It sprouted quickly, but it didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds, and as it came up, it was strangled by the weeds. Some fell on good earth and produced a harvest beyond the farmer's wildest dreams. Now, when anyone hears the gospel of God's kingdom but doesn't take it in, it remains just on the surface. And so the big bad wolf in the guise of the enemy of Jesus can come along and steal it out of that person's heart. That's the seed scattered on the road. Whereas the seed scattered on gravel is like the person who hears the gospel and instantly responds with enthusiasm. But there's no depth of character. And when the difficulties of life come along, the person turns away from the truth. Now, such seeds falling in the road and the gravel are like the little pig's house built of straw. They're easily blown away. Seeds falling in the weeds are like the second pig's house built on sticks. Like anyone who hears God's word of truth, but believes their own worth is displayed in continually wanting brighter, shinier, more and more material possessions, rather than believing their real value is in how God sees them, their real worth. So the truth cannot be fruitful in that person's heart and in that person's life, because their heart is divided. They're torn between applying God's will for their life and what the world wants them to do. The seed that falls on good earth is the person who hears and receives God's word and truth with faith, who has a good heart and in turn sows that seed into the hearts of many others, producing a good harvest beyond their wildest dreams that previously thought possible. We dare to dream in this church. We dare to dream not just of a bigger church, but of huge growth in this town, this region, and beyond. Such a person is like the house built of brick, with firm foundations and can withstand any huffing and puffing by any big bad wolf. We just need to show Christ in us to help all those people that we come into contact with, to ensure that all seeds, each of ours, yours and mine, and those that we touch, are sown in good earth and nurtured. So how do we do it? And who's that parable for? Well, how important do we think Zena is, or any of the children in J24/7, or the youngsters in Ignite? How important do we think they are? They're part of the church. What about the children out there? How important do we think they are? How much time do we have for them? A few years ago, before Denise and I joined Kingdom Faith Church, we were privileged and blessed to hear the senior pastor of Kingdom Faith, Clive Urquhart, speak in front of several thousand people to say that the children aren't the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. Now, such a message is one that we should have in our hearts. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." We've stood as a body of Christ for Zena today. We've stood as family. It is up to us on Sundays and Tuesdays for Little Builders, and every time that we see Zena, and every time that we pray for children, to pray for and support her, and to support the family. Whether you have children or not, whether you work with children or not, we each have a duty of care to all children in this church. But as I say, what about the others? And you might think, well, how do I do that? Well, surely, you know, that's up for anybody else. And someone else will look after it. The duty of care we have, would anyone here, if they saw an abandoned child in the street, or a child who was unattended and clearly in distress, who would walk by without doing something? I don't reckon anyone would that's in here. And some of you are visitors, but I reckon you wouldn't be here if you'd walk by. So why do we turn our back on anyone who yet doesn't know God's love. There's a few instructions in Scripture as well to just help us a little bit. From Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Israelites have just been given all the commandments. But then it's summarized like this. Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all you've got. Write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside you. And then get them inside your children. Talk about them wherever you are. Sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. Now that's a pretty sort of like consistent and continuous and ongoing instruction. Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Tell your children about it from the time you wake up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. It's a bit of a challenge. I don't think I did that with ours. But Kingdom Faith's children's and youth activities go under the banner of J24/7. Now that's not just about loving and living Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And living Jesus and loving Jesus means living life and loving life to the full. But it's not just about that. It's about Jeremiah chapter 24 verse 7. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. Now, Zena's been dedicated by her family, blood family, her relations, her extended family, and also this family of God to God. But with the obligation that God puts in each of us for Zena to know the love of him throughout her life as it flows into and out of us, into her and into all children, regardless of whether or not we actually have them ourselves or work with them or whatever. Our neighbor's children, our work colleagues' children, whatever. There are many examples in the Bible about parents dedicating their children to God. Hannah brought the son she'd prayed for and presented him to God, handing the young Samuel over to Eli the priest. I prayed for this child and God gave me what I asked for. And now I have dedicated him to God. He's dedicated God to God for life. Now Donna prayed for a child and has dedicated her and Zena to God for life. Joseph of Mary brought the infant child Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem and presented him to God. And then, as we may know, there was the story of Abraham and Isaac. For the full story, look at Genesis chapter 22. Abraham was prepared to give Isaac back to God. And the result was that Isaac received the fullness of God's best plan and promise for his life. So to recap, we're told to love God with all we've got and to bring up children to love God, to make sure that children know that love and to share that love with all and to dedicate our lives to it every waking moment. Now, why are we told how to behave to our children and how much to value them? Or any child? Because that's what God does. He rates children. From Mark chapter 10. The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples, though, shooed them off. But Jesus was irate and let them know it. Don't push these young children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. Then, gathering up the children in his arms, he laid his hands and blessed them. Now, just in case any of us, like Christ's original disciples, don't always get it, Here's a message from Matthew chapter 18. The disciples came to Jesus asking, "Who gets the highest rank in God's kingdom?" For an answer, Jesus called over a child, whom he stood in the middle of the room. And he said, "I'm telling you, once and for all, that unless you return to square one, become like little children, you're not even going to get a look at the kingdom, let alone get in. Whoever humbles himself and becomes childlike is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What's more, anyone welcoming a little child like this in my name also welcomes me." So when we actually say that we greet a child and we show the love of Christ into them, we're also welcoming Christ into us as well as them. So there's a scriptural commitment placed on each of us by God to look after a child, whether that child's been born to us, adopted, fostered, whether it's a blood relative, a stepbrother, a stepson, a stepdaughter, whatever, whether it's a colleague's child, whether it's a neighbor's child. We're called to recognize every child as a precious gift from God. We're to give thanks and praise to God for that child. They belong ultimately to Him. To Him first. He's just given them over to us to nurture on His behalf. But they're ultimately His. But He trusts us to do His job right. So dedicating children to God and praying for them honors God, blesses the children. It's God ordained. But what about ourselves? Well, in that passage from Matthew, we're told that to be the greatest in the kingdom, we need to return to square one, to humble ourselves and become childlike. But how do we do that, and what does it mean? Well, someone came up with this TV advert, hoping and thinking that this might be the answer. Thanks, Naomi. That's one way, becoming childlike, being prostrate on the floor. But I don't think it's what God's looking for. I just have a little, intimation on that. But it's interesting how that advert turned children's tantrums upside down, really. Because the kingdom of heaven isn't like this world. In the world, the person who pushes others out of the way can often be successful. But Jesus' kingdom isn't like that. True greatness is not receiving service from others, but in giving it. The genuinely humble person is the one that counts the greatest in the kingdom. Children were of little significance in Christ's time. How have things changed? The number of times that I, walking through Scarborough, in supermarkets, hear parents or adults of some, whether they're carers or whatever, screaming and shouting and swearing at a child, still demonstrates that there is ignorance of what that child is worth to God. But Jesus took a little child and put him center stage in a room and declared that greatness was to be found and is to be found in that child. God's kingdom turns the world's values upside down. Real greatness is not seeking to be praised and served by others, but asking people on how you can serve them. In his second letter to the Philippians, The Apostle Paul writes how to serve Christ. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor, he writes. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend others a helping hand. Now, when Jesus called that little child to him, that child would have come straight away and stayed where he was put. That child was exalted by Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that an example and a clue to what real humility means? When Jesus calls us, we should answer and stay wherever he puts us. Humility is not about suppressing those natural gifts of drive and determination and the natural and God-given gifts that we have. It's rather about using them for Christ and his kingdom. Humble people don't brag about it. They're actually utterly unself-conscious about what they do, how they do it, what gifts they've got. They're like that child. They claim no right from others, let alone from their Savior. They follow where Jesus calls, and they go to wherever he puts them. Now, Christ has already put you in this church. Some of you for the first time today. This church is built on solid rock foundations. Within this town, within this region. This church, as I've mentioned, has got many areas where a humble drive, determination, and your God-given gifts and talents can be used. Now, if you think that Christ is calling you to work for this church in some shape or form, in this community, in this building, at Lamplugh House, which is our retreat and conference center in Thwing, in the children's or youth work, and then it's an important part of serving others and humbling yourself, and you want to know more as to how you can do that, what you could do to use those God-given gifts, then ask any of the leadership. Dedicate and declare yourself to be the seed planted in good ground. To be the seed that's nurtured by a body of Christ in a house, the summit built on solid rock foundations of Jesus Christ. And declare and dedicate yourself to be the person that God has called each of you to be. A child of God to serve other children of God. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.